Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. As we continue the season of Epiphany, our readings are taken from Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, and Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. We continue our series entitled Talking Jesus, which will be followed up in our small groups as well as a weekly Zoom meeting, to which all are welcome. Log-on details can be found on our Facebook page and website. The talk this morning is by our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Go and Make Disciples.
The first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and beginning at the 16th verse. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Jesus, we hear because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Open our minds, open our hearts. May we discern your words this morning. your word for us. Amen. I must start by apologizing for two things. First, I'm a little bit shaky. I'm a little bit cold. I don't know what about you, but I think I didn't maybe have my breakfast as usual, so I'm lacking a little bit of energy. And second, I'm really sorry, but it's the third time you have me talking to you in 3 weeks. It wasn't planned. It's because some on the rota couldn't really do January and February, so we were a bit thin on number. And then because of the increase in number of our children, Dave needed to be present. Last week he was supposed to preach. So that's why you have me for 3 weeks in a row. I'm very sorry you stuck with me. I do promise next week it's not me, and I think a week after also. So there we go. You have a little respite. But we are exploring Talking Jesus, the course we are doing all together as a church, whether you're in a group, in a home, or here on the church, or on Zoom. And as Nigel says, we really had a great time on Tuesday evening, and it's not too late to join us. So there will be those sheets at the back with the Zoom details. Join us. We're only on week number two, and it would be great. We were about 13, 14, and good discussions. We started with looking at the power of our words and our conversation. And if you remember 3 weeks ago, we looked at that story of Jesus talking to that woman who came in at noon to draw water because she didn't want to have anything to do with other people. She had such a life that she felt isolated and excluded. But Jesus saw her and loved her. And through that conversation, she was transformed, changed. She started to realize this man might be the one we were waiting for, the Messiah, and goes to the village. And through her witness, not just her, but the whole village is transformed. Our conversations, our lives, what we say to people about our faith has the potential to transform that life, and that life has the potential to transform many more. And then last week, we looked at that question that Jesus asked his friends and us. Who do you say I am? And those who are doing the course, that was the question we looked at week one. Who do we say Jesus is in the church? But more importantly, what do people think about Jesus? And maybe, like me, you were a little bit surprised about what people said about Jesus. How many actually would say he was a prophet or a good teacher? How many would even say they believe that he rose from the dead? Whatever that really means, I'm not sure whether it was something they learned at school and they just believe. But 40% of people who were asked if they believed he rose from the dead said yes. So we can be surprised when we start those conversations. I think we have, and I often have, many assumptions about people I know. Oh, they'll never really be interested. And yet, if you find the right question, if you're just having a normal conversation, you might be surprised. And that was in week one, the whole point of that first video, when I was a bit young with skaters, and he felt a bit ashamed to say that he was singing in a choir. But he was encouraged, just invite them, you never know. And he did invite them. A bit awkwardly, and it did come. And we make those assumptions. They will never come. They're not interested. But I wonder if you think, where those voices come from? Maybe they're from the fact that we've tried and we've been maybe hurt because the person wasn't interested. Maybe it's not the voice of God, but the voice of the enemy. Don't try. Don't beat yourself. So we'll explore why we should be confident in talking about Jesus. Well, first, we should be confident talking about Jesus because in that reading, when Jesus showed himself to his disciples, to his friends after he was resurrected, it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, what does that mean here? Some doubted. Another translation says, some held back, not sure about worship in the sense of risking everything. for him. They were not sure, what does this mean? We can see Jesus, but what are the implications now for me? What I like is that Jesus always starts where we are, not where we're not. And so we can be confident, because if we open, says Jesus, use me, he will start where we are. He will maybe give a small challenge, a small opportunity, and we will pick it up because we'll recognize we've been praying and we will be encouraged. Jesus always starts where we are. Some were overwhelmed. That verse doubt here is not an unsettled unbelief, but a state of uncertainty and hesitation. And I think I do feel like that when I need to talk about Jesus, a little bit of hesitation. There are some great kind of questions you can ask, or some great truth that you can use to start a conversation. And I try that on my neighbors. I knew a piece of research from a friend who went, she was a sociologist, but also a theologian, and she went to see whether people at some point in their lives had some kind of experience that made them feel there is something more. There is another. There is something above just this natural, material world. And she went, and I think I can't remember if it's 80 or 90%, could point to an experience. So I turned to my neighbor and said, do you have such an experience? And my neighbor doctor, he says, you know what? For me, it was when my children were born. When I saw them, I knew there was just more. No, what an easy way to start to speak about, well, what is the meaning of life? Is there something more? Can we learn something about that through scriptures? So we can be confident because God will start where we are. And secondly, because we learn here, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. When you speak about Jesus, you speak about the person who has all authority. He is the supreme ruler. He is the supreme Lord. And the context of this passage is the resurrection. Jesus conquered death. And we can say it's twin brother sin, because sin and death goes together. He is now the supreme leader. He will be the supreme judge, the one appointed above all else. One of the New Testament would say, every knee one day will bow down and every tongue will declare that Jesus is the supreme ruler, that we owe our very existence. And we who have experienced that good news, that God doesn't come to us as an angry God, God comes to us as a compassionate God. He took upon himself the penalty for our sins, and he gives us life. And he wants us to share that with others now. We've sang about it in our worship. When the New Testament speaks about God's love, they always point to the cross. But when the New Testament speaks about God's power, they speak about the resurrected power. God's incomparably great power is now in us and with us. And so we can be confident, because God will start where we are, but also because when we speak about Jesus, we speak about the person who has all authority. And he's going to work in the hearts and the minds of those you talk to. It's not your words that kind of have the power. It's the truth that you say that Jesus will use to transform, to change people. He is the one saving. And so we can relax when we tell our story of faith, even if it's a little bit hesitating. We can relax. God is in control. And God and Jesus is much more interested in showing himself to that person than we will ever be. So we can be confident also. We can be confident because Jesus told us to go. He commanded us, go and make disciples, make apprentices of all nations. Now, how do we make, why did I put that picture next door, you know, like a driver? It's not because of the strikes, no, it has nothing to do with the strikes. Apprentice, disciples, that's an apprentice. You've been called and you've learned things through your life. You were first an apprentice when you became a Christian at first, and you've learned from other Christians. But hopefully by now you've learned a few things about God, about his goodness, about his faithfulness, about his the way to live to the full. So in a sense, now you are a little bit like the driver's instructor. And God is going to send you some apprentices, some people who have questions. Don't try to answer the questions you don't know, but those things that you've learned through your walk with God, God wants to use you to help someone else grow in their faith. And so go and make disciples of all nations. That's an individual call and a collective call. As a church, we are called to make disciples in our community. But as individual, you are called, you are specially sent in a context, whether it's your neighborhood, your street, your place of work, your family, among your friends. Now, I don't know if you were encouraged or not, but in that first session, there were some statistics, and one that is really good for vicars to hear is that 2/3 of the people will know are committed Christians. 2/3, 60-something percent. And the way they will describe the committed Christians they know is kind, caring, and generous. Only 1% will say they know a church leader. 1%. So how do we reach our community? Well, through you. I can only reach 1%. You can reach 60-plus percent because of the contacts and the people that knows you. And it says, go and make disciples of all nations. This is a good news for everybody. It's all kind of people in our community, the old and the young, the wealthy and the poor, the intellectual and the manual, the troubled and the satisfied, the healthy and the sick, all classes, all colors, all nationalities, all backgrounds. Jesus says, I am the Lord of all, so go, go and tell. So we can be confident because Jesus will start where we are, because Jesus has all the authority, and because he has sent us, he has commissioned us to do it. So we can be confident, finally, because he says, I will always be with you. As you do that, as you respond to my call, as you realize that I have given you the provision, I'm working where you are, at your pace, I'm giving you the power, all authority has been given to me, I'm giving you the commissioning, the commands, but I'm also giving you my very presence. As you grow, you will experience my presence. Now, it's a question, am I experiencing God's presence in my daily life? Does my Christian life springs out of times that I spent with him? Do I make time to be with God, to hear from him through scriptures, through prayer, through being with other Christians, through study? You see, the resurrection means God is alive. He is with us. He's speaking. He's guiding. He's empowering. When you're praying for your friends, he will make things happening and you will be more aware of opportunities that are coming up. In session one, again this week, there was this little video about, oh, well, they'll never come. We make those assumptions. But interestingly, in our second passage, it's not only that God and Jesus is with us, but he's already before us. He's already working through the circumstances we are praying for. No, we did invite our neighbor, and they said they would come to Stable Manors, and it looks like many people have been inviting, because nearly for the three evenings, we're nearly full, but not full, so there will be tickets on sale after the service. But what was surprising is that I did send a text, and I said, we have this show in our church, and it would be great if you come, I had a selling point. I said, and I will be in it. I will be in it. I'll be moving some camels along. You know, they're parked on yellow line. But the way the person responds really surprised me. He said, oh, do you know you're the second person who are talking about Stable Manners? I think it might be a sign. I had no idea that that person knew someone else from maybe the church. You see the assumptions that I'm making? So be encouraged, and if you haven't invited your friends, you still have a week, a few days, and there's still some tickets. And that's what we see in that other reading in Acts. Jesus not only has all authority, but he's sovereign, and he prepares the hearts of your friends. I'll go to that after. Look at the passage. We have Paul. And if you go the chapter before, he has to leave Berea, which is a place, because his life is in danger. And the Christians are really concerned, and they send him out. He said, you have to go. It's too dangerous. And he ends up in Athens, and there he preaches. But there he moves to Corinthians, and that's when things get interesting. There we hear he meets a Jew called Aquila, a native of Pontus. But the interesting bit is that he had also to flee. He had to flee Rome. He used to live there, but because of the emperor Claudius, he was expelled. So he grew up in Pontus, ended up in Rome, but was expelled and ended up now in Corinth at the time that Paul is arriving. Not only that, but it happened that they're doing the same job. Both Aquila, his wife, and Paul are tent makers. And so they come together and they start working together. And Paul stays with them. And he used the opportunity to reason in the synagogue. And when things get sour there, he's asked to leave the synagogue. But just next door, there is someone there who says, come and continue your teaching. So he leaves, but he ends up just next door with Justice. And there, a little bit later, the very leader of the synagogue, who's next door, becomes a Christian. God is preparing the circumstances. God is sovereign. And you can relax when you pray with your friends, for your friends, that God is doing. Even if you've tried 5 years ago, God is working, still working. And we just need to sometimes be patient, be open, and be willing to try again. And that's what he says then here. Paul, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. I am with you, and I have many people in this city. Do we believe that God has more people in this town? That he wants to reach more people? That he's interested in those you've learned to appreciate and to love, your friends, your family, your neighbors. God wants to reach them. He wants us to talk with confidence. Why? Because he takes us as we are, because all authority belongs to him, because he's with us, because he works already in their hearts. So I want you to be encouraged, and as you go through the course, I don't want you to see the course as information. I want to experience the course as a transformation, as a way to be encouraged, to be hopeful again, to find those opportunities to talk about Jesus, to share just what he has done in your life, who Jesus is for you, to help them. And I will finish with the verse that I'm taking for my year. I don't know if you do that at the beginning of the year. I try to have a verse maybe that will help me. And it's the famous verse, but it's the Message translation. And it says, "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you, but keep company with me and learn, and you will learn to live," and I've added, "speak and act freely and lightly." Let's pray. Jesus, you are the most important person in the world. Grow our confidence in knowing that you take us as we are. You have all authority in heaven and on earth. You promise to be with us as we obey your commandment to make ourselves available. And thank you that you are already at work in the hearts and the minds and the circumstances of those we love. Make us faithful as we pray. And continue to guide us as a church. Teach us how to make disciples. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Fabian. And I can assure you, you don't need to apologize for 3 weeks in a row at all. Just before we declare our faith, Vashti shared a couple of verses with me that stood out, that I thought quite helpful for today. And this is, again, taken from the Message, which seems to have that ability to really speak very clearly. First from Matthew. "Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally." And the second is from Acts. "Keep it up and don't let anyone intimidate or silence you. No matter what happens, I am with you, and no one is going to be able to hurt you. You have no idea how many people I have on my side in this city or in this town."
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.